Lewis Hamilton echoing that, right, from his platform. So if you think about him representing the 1% just as a driver, right, and he's one of the best in it, like, to me, that's a common sense type of question. How's the best driver has dominated this race over X amount of years? They're on.
It's your dude Jay from Wolfpack, and welcome back to another episode of Performance Talk, where I bring the industry to you and some motivation too. So look, you never know where you're going to find performance. It could be in a garage, it could be at the track, or just in the studio. But either way it goes, we're going to get you where you need to go. So let's get on with the show. Welcome back to another episode of Performance Talk. And today I got a special guest doing great work in the community, definitely doing things to bring young ones up and people, exposing people to different elements that are in these elite motorsports that you may not be aware about, but he is. Today I have Anwar from Teams. How you doing, brother?
How you doing, Jay? Thank you so much for having me on your platform. Excited to be here and want to celebrate recently meeting you and following up with this invitation. So thank you.
Facts, no problem. Yeah, me and Anwar met at COTA when they were doing the teams with the Hidden Genius Project, with the youth, with the community, going there for doing more than just racing. So they were doing exactly good, hard work there. And I was very pleased to see in an area in which I come from something that wasn't done when I was coming up through those channels. Seeing you all there do those things was an awesome thing to me as a Texan, like, for real. I really do appreciate the work that you do.
Thank you for that. And just to maybe give your audience some context of, you know, why we were there at COTA. We're a team. We're a nonprofit organization, and we really kind of anchor ourselves in the context of our acronym. So team, technology, exposure, and access to mentoring. So we exposed underrepresented youth to technology platforms to have a direct, pathway into careers in sports and technology. And we really started our roots really in basketball. I have a plan coaching front office background and management role in basketball. And so that's where we focused most of our content in our earlier days. But in the last 2 years, we've been afforded opportunities to pivot outside of basketball and apply our approach, our methodology to sports like Formula One, NASCAR, baseball, football, soccer. So it was an awesome experience to, like, in a lot of ways, do something different than basketball, taking our organization and our youth to Austin, Texas, to be associated with Formula One.
Man, cool. So let's get into you. Let's get into you. You making this happen and how you got here, your earlier life, what led you here? What led you to doing teams? Like, what did you go through? What did you experience that made you want to go ahead and put energy into what you are now?
Yeah, so obviously I'm sharing my experience, like, in a Monday morning quarterbacking sense. I'm looking reflective. This was not the plan. So me coming up, you know, like most youth, I had aspirations to be a career professional, whether that was in corporate America or in the sports realm. I was blessed and fortunate to be a student athlete a majority of my life, where in high school, I made the ranks of a McDonald's All-American, so was highly recruited to go to college. And so, you know, when you have that type of pedigree, if you will, you know, you're thinking about some of the financial rewards where you get a scholarship. And so I had no idea what that would be an impact on my family per se. That was just the life I was coming up in. So coming from an experience of being a student athlete, making my first transition from being a student athlete to a coach. And then from a coaching, my coaching career, I like literally flipped the switch and got into the technology field. And it was in the technology field that I had my kind of aha moment. I was working for a sports technology company, and my job was to sell a performance analysis platform to all sports teams in North America. And so I had the, you know, the humbled experience of meeting NFL, NBA, and NCAA teams in this kind of, you know, technology data collection space. And so the platform I was trying to sell had real-time implications. It was a platform that was needed, or we would sell it in the context of it was mission critical to sports performance. And so for me to sell that platform, I had to understand the value proposition. But I had some, you know, personal insights into that experience of selling and seeing who was managing these platforms and what did that mean, what implications that mean in the career space. And so a lot of people that, you know, manage this platform were in these kind of like video analyst roles for sports teams. And again, I'll stick to basketball for right now. And what I was seeing is that, you know, it was an entry level position, but it had a lot of promise in that position. You had to understand a unique workflow. You had to have personable skills and you had to be able to work under pressure. And I just saw firsthand through my experience of selling this to all the NBA teams, there wasn't representation, at least for people from my community, people that looked like Anwar, people look like yourself.
Not true.
And so I raised my hand and just said, like, look, you know, how can we, you know, change this or do differently? And I just had an idea of like, if it's as simple as brokering access to this platform, training people that would have not been exposed to this up until a certain point, let's just see how that, you know, kind of, you know, trial and error would work out. And I was, lo and behold, like, wow, just even before I started team, just in that, you know, small awareness of like, I want to broker access to people that wanted to work in the sports industry, needed the skills to navigate the specific platform. You know, I'm proud to say helped over, you know, 100 people literally come through my personal mentoring, get upskilled, but really get placed in, you know, career tracks. So they got hired by NBA teams, college teams, et cetera. And what I can share with everyone is that a lot of those people that started then, they have matriculated and evolved into leadership positions. So they sit in today's game, general managers, head coaches, director of scouting, director of analytics. And so when I went back to really focus on what would team be, I wanted it to be that community, you know, kind of pipeline, you know, access to have these, you know, real conversations of what it would look like to work in professional sports, not necessarily being on the courts and fields. And so, again, really hit a home run, if I could say that, in basketball, or slam dunk in basketball. And we've just been, you know, spending out, you know, kind of future business, exploring other sports and avenues to have that same type of, you know, experience for youth.
Man, bro, that's deep. That is a lot. And that's not even probably the tip of the iceberg and what we could get into and what you can get into with that. But to get along there. So you going through that made you want to start teams, right?
Yes.
So when you started teams, was the main focus at one point in time product, or was the main focus leadership of getting the youth to understand job routes or journey? What was the main focus of the team?
The main focus was this kind of tangible asset of jobs, right? Because I just saw in these specific jobs, you know, you were starting off in six-figure realms. And that just, you know, I think a lot of times, you know, at least folks from my community where I was raised from, we see those jobs in a sports context only like in the playing context. You know, if I could get a scholarship, I become the, you know, professional, I can, you know, be rich overnight and support my family, my community. And this wasn't that. I wanted to be clear, but wanted to also be clear to the youth I wanted to expose this to, or young people, that this is a career pathway that would get you in the industry. You have high paying wages, and that's life, right? That's sustainability. It's upward economic mobility, so that even if you start at a level like this, that becomes your norm going forward, right? So if you pivot out of sports as a career, you're looking for that other job, you're leasing that, you know, conversation of higher wages, higher skills, and that's the way of the world. So it's one thing, Jay, if I was trying to, like, you know, select people and training them with this specific skill that didn't have like a broad application, I'm not saying I would not have done that, but I think I've hit a two for one. I just think a lot of times you can get students or young people motivated based on what they're interested in. And so I did have a, you know, intuition or a place to bet or hypothesis that sports is really engaging for young people, right? So how can we use sports as kind of that hook and really have some real tangible conversations of what it looks like to apply a sports interest, you know, to some of these 21st century skills around collecting data, you know, processing that data, filtering the data, and then having these soft skills to have presentation skills to present to your stakeholders.
Okay, so let's go. Let's move into this. How much from, let's say, the 90s to 2000 to now, has technology actually been implemented into these elite sports, whether it be Formula One, whether it be NASCAR, whether it be basketball, football? How much technology from that era to now has become dominant or important, could you say?
Let me work backwards and say, this is 2022. It is right. The industry standard. There's no professional sports team, basketball, football, soccer, that is not immersed in technology. And because it's industry standard, it's literally an arm race. How can we invest in technology? How can we invest in data science people to understand some of these technologies? And really, how does this apply to helping our team manage our performance? And that's a broad umbrella in terms of managing performance, but it really is correlated to winning, right? Like, what information can we have to give us a best chance in a competitive sense to win? And technology is that, like, extra coach. Go back to your original question of when did this all started? Technology has always been a part of sports, but as technology is involved, it's gotten more immersed. And so when I first got into the space, what I do now was an analog offering, right? It was literally deck-to-deck VHS recording. You would film a game. After the game, you would have to, edit it using analog stuff where you play a record, put in another tape, send it over there. And when that, changed into a digital platform like iMovie and stuff like that, that was a game changer, because that meant that some of this information, video validation, if you will, was ready instantaneously. And so I'm giving that kind of bigger picture, but right. I had to take a step back. Like, there's a human element in that. Who is developing this technology? Who knows how to navigate the technology to make some of these, some of this stuff, happen? And the people that could do that, they were valued, to be able to command these higher wages, because, again, the correlation was, if we invest in technology and this can improve performance, you're going to win. And, that brings out a lot of excitement. And so, again, it's an active arms race of NFL, NBA, Formula One. It doesn't matter. Technology is a part of today's sports. But separately, it's a industry that supports the athletes on the field and on the racetracks, on the floors. And it's a billion-dollar industry, that has a lot of career, tracks in it, and I'm just excited and passionate about getting exposure to all youth with a specific emphasis on, people that, look like myself.
Okay. So let me ask you this. What's like, even if you have to go to basketball to give me like a real number, because you're more dived in basketball than Formula One, if you can give me a number in Formula One, that's cool too. What is the percentage of somebody making it to the pros or to the Formula One grid? What is the percentage?
Yeah, so I'm a pun a little bit on that. Let's start with basketball. Percentage, I think the percentage is less than 1% if we're talking about someone from our communities that want to play at that level. I mean, it's that competitive. You got so many possibilities, but you got limited jobs, right? You got limited like spots. On the NBA team is only 15, spots, per team. And so that's only 450 possibilities for someone new to kind of break in year to year. That said, you're talking about 10 to 20X from some of these support roles that work for each an individual team. So I'm saying the odds have actually increased for you to have a professional career working in sports, have more sustainability, and again, playing like the data or the numbers. That's what intrigues me, is that I think a lot of our energy is put into maybe just being a part of that 450 on the NBA playing side. Let's look at those 50,000 other jobs that are available. So that's what excites me, that we're doing better good. We're not getting people excited and then funnel them into like these. And like, if I go to Formula One, just these 20 jobs that are available, like, no, it's 10, 20X of all these jobs that go in just to support that one team. And now when you're talking about a league, that's that same number, multiples of 10. And, and like sports, it's hierarchy, right? The entry level, they're executive, they're people that actually develop those technologies, entrepreneurship. So I get excited that those numbers are through the roof in terms of endless possibilities. And so that's my, self-imposed job. I want to make people aware, grant them access, and let them, explore these career pathways.
All right. So if you could, your program or the program that you're exposing these kids to, the program that I saw when I was there and actually participated in, explain how that correlates to Formula One? Like, explain how it's capturing data, how they're going to be able to use it, what's going on. Like, explain kind of the job function so they can maybe get a picture. I wish they could have been there to play with the tablets, but explain, like, what's going on there for them to do the job and the job they're doing to be received by the uppers to understand the technology and what they need to do going forward to progress in the team.
Yeah, so what we designed for Dakota race in Austin, where we met Jay, was we try to make it really simple. And just from the context of this understanding that a lot of the students we were working with at Austin, one, just weren't too educated on what Formula One was as a sport, right? Yet alone had never been to a Formula One race. And so what we wanted to focus on is that, okay, what's a basic, like, you know, kind of context we can really have these students kind of participate in, like, in a workshop environment. So what we designed for Formula One in Austin was we wanted students to, you know, kind of create a design template where they were tracking a race in real time or video of a race in real time, and they had to do some observational data capture. And so the observational data capture we had them do was at every, you know, turn within a sector, they were time stamping that turn. And so what that did on the back end was we had a nice readout of, you know, one lap, if you will, with the three sectors breaking down how much time was spent with the driver in each turn, right? Each turn, and I think in this track we were using, there were 20 turns in each lap. And so that information, even though it's very small or super, you know, simple, that's a big deal when you get that information to the driver and to their team, because they're like, when you're trying to, you know, the goal is to, you know, spend the less time going around the track, right? So if you have information of kind of indicating that on turn 1 and 7, you went too wide or the time could be an outlier that, you know, that took 5 seconds when the average was like 4 seconds, you're going to get some insights that could be a driver technique type stuff. And so that was a small world to get into that world, make it super interactive, make it competitive, because as the students were, you know, kind of plotting this information, they were under a little pressure. They had to do it within, you know, the compounds of a lap, if you will.
Right.
So that was really excited. And then what we excited us most is that then you had, you know, the McLaren team members come in and say, look, I am the engineer for McLaren. And even though you guys were just tracking maybe 2 data points, we have technology where we're collecting like 5 terabytes of data for an entire race. So really just wrap your head around that, right? It is like, you know, data collection on steroids that goes on along in a Formula One race. But who is there on the engineering side, the technical side, translate that data to the drivers to give them, you know, performance indicators, right? And again, in the Formula One world, that's more driving techniques, you know, how you're going to spend times, you know, with speed, acceleration in the turns or straightaways, et cetera. And we both know, at least I know now, that's all part of the engineering and design of these cars. And so we just tried our best in a small way to get the youth excited about that, bring in the industry experts to really explain that, like, yes, this is what I do full time for my job. And, you know, if you're interested, you know, I can mentor and, you know, hopefully, you know, stay in touch with what possibilities may exist for some of these youth.
All right. Tell me this. Where do you think the disconnect is in the community to these pathways? What do you think some of the biggest obstacles are that these kids, these youths are not being either exposed, educated on, or interested in these type of jobs?
Yeah, and I wish I had a silver lining. It's just one thing that we need to fix. I mean, it's a little complicated, but if I had to be general, it really is mentoring in a lot of ways. So if you think about, you know, what we see from a marketing standpoint, you know, everywhere I turn, there's some youth basketball, football, soccer tournament being, you know, advertised, you know, or, you know, if you're going to a high school sports team, is kind of the big thing. You want to go to college, you know, get on the sports team, you get a scholarship. Now, at those same high school and stuff, I want to be clear, they have career fairs, career days, but that's where the mentoring thing becomes really interesting to me. I've been to a high school where I was a minority at a high school in Washington, D.C. We didn't necessarily have career days, but anytime we were talking about jobs and career pathways, whether that was law, business, and finance, there was no one there representing that company that I felt in that moment comfortable, like, hey, well, what is this? Or how did you get there? So in my way, I think mentoring and visibility is a big deal. Man, once kids kind of see that, I think that's a honest conversation to broker access and kind of like, you know, how can I experience or experiment going down this pathway? And then once that's kind of achieved, Jay, if you will, there's education that exists right now to help, you know, train and mentor and, you know, develop some of these skills. I just think it's a lack of representation of who are the educators doing it. So it's almost like, you know, for young kids, if you're talking about a basketball player, I think any kid could identify, you know, who LeBron is, who Steph Curry is, and, you know, just prominent figures like that. But if you ask him, you know, who's a, you know, popular Formula One person, they probably wouldn't even know, you know. And obviously we have, you know, an African-American Formula One, a Mercedes drive team is a standout, you know, but most people don't even know that. Right. And so, but imagine them knowing that and knowing that he cares about, you know, some folks from his community, you know, getting these jobs and these career pathways on the support side of it. I think we have a movement. I think we have a movement if that catalyst kind of happens. So again, I think it's mentoring, exposure and representation all kind of wrapped into one that can help start to unlock some of this stuff.
All right. And I got this question for you. And it's no right answer. And you don't have to be general. You can be as analytical as you want on this question. If you were to say, if Formula One was to approach you right now and say, hey, Anwar, we know the work you do. What is it that we can do as a product, a sport, an organization to, if not create, elaborate or shine on a pathway or connect to the community? What would you like to see us do better? What would you like to, what would Anwar think that Formula One could do better? How put it that way?
Yeah, and I think what we tried to do in Austin was kind of a small step in that general direction, right? We're saying that, and I learned some of this analytics after I left Austin, that for that particular weekend, over 500,000 people came in just to be sports and spectators for that, you know, for that event, right? So if you have that type of economic investment into it, you have businesses supporting that. So I just think what we try to do is that if we knew that that type of support would be there, how could Formula One as a brand or the McLaren team as a brand be connected to the community or people that, for example, did have access to even going to, like, you know, a race like that? And so my organization team and the Hidden Genius Project, you know, because we focus on tech creation, entrepreneurship, skill development, and we have that mentoring piece, we wanted to be the brokers in that specific environment to bring students from the surrounding Austin communities just around that whole weekend. So it wasn't us giving us this 1-hour workshop. Oh, this is how you can track, you know, someone around the track, or Hidden Genius showing the kids how to, you know, build websites. It was more of like, that's a part of it, but let's broker access to these kids having access to the actual race too, so they can see the fanfare, the excitement, get them excited about, like, if that's a sport they want to, you know, continue to pursue, but really still have them knowing, like, you know, from personal experience that, look, their career pathways that, you know, I had no idea that this calculus or geometry stuff I'm learning in high school is quite frankly applicable to anything in the real world. But to see these people live and to touch them, you know, I think that was super exciting. So I go back to say, I think that's a solid model, at least to start. And again, that we can, you know, follow the circuit of around the states or around the world, you get more corporate interest into this. And I think we can use that model to broker more access for the communities. And that access is not just that exposure going to the race, but you really start once the race leaves, how can Formula One still invest in, you know, communities in Austin or the surrounding raceways where they can support this type of program that goes in the community, right? Where it's just, that's the touch point, but what is the follow-up, right? You know, how can we track and measure, you know, these exposures? So I'm excited and get excited when I get asked that, because I'm like, it's not rocket science, but it is a process. You got to do it. You got to do it. You know, you got to be committed to it. And I think we did a good job of, you know, starting that process and conversation.
Right. So let me ask you this. Did you ever hear the percentage of the percentage of people of color that actually obtain jobs in Formula One. Have you ever heard what that percent is?
No, I have not. And I would guess it's probably under 3%, somewhere in that range. I mean, I'm saying that with some confidence without in
right.
No research. That's just a gut feeling of what I saw, what I right. think. And yes.
Right.
So what's the number here?
The number that I heard from Lewis Hamilton, because he has a commission that is geared towards trying to get people of color, black people, jobs in Formula One and science and engineering, is 1%.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
In all of Formula One, people of color occupy a job up at 1% of that, of people of color.
Yeah. If I could piggyback on that, that's kind of, that's an example that gets me excited because, one, you got someone like Lewis Hamilton, and I was struggling earlier just even like with his name, but Lewis Hamilton echoing that, right, from his platform. So if you think about him representing the 1% just as a driver, right, and he's one of the best in it, like, to me, that's a common sense type of question. How's the best driver has dominated this race over X amount of years? There aren't other people that you have to ask those questions. And so you dig deeper, you know, all due respect to Lewis, he has a unique background, right? You know, he had access to some of this. And so that's why I'm just, you know, just tripling down that it is about access. It's about mentoring. And that's a part of Lewis's story. So, you know, I think common sense would say, like, if you create environments or conditions where other people have access, you know, you're going to, you know, just play the numbers game. You're going to have more people coming out of those pipelines or funnels to pursue being Lewis Hamilton, but also being pursuing, like, you know, what are these support jobs in the technical sense
that can
support this? And, you know, I didn't know you were a fan. I mean, I was like, man, like, is this guy just filming this? That, you know, you're like, man, I'm like, whoa, you know? So, you know, it's amazing how, you know, events can bring people together. And I think even in Formula One, they have a hell of a head start because one of their superstars, it represents some of these kind of, you know, issues, right? And, like, let's just embrace it while we can. And that's not to say that no other driver can have that type of influence forever.
Right.
I'm just saying, Lewis Hamilton in particular, that is unique. That's special. And for him to be echoing those specific stats, let's take some action and, you know, try to do better, you know, because the more people you got involved in the developing these technologies and, you know, having input, I think everyone in a reasonable sense can say the sport would improve. You know, you'd have more diversity in the fan base. You know, it's already a global entity. Let's not just stop there. But that was a great point of you sharing that stat that was echoed by, you know, Lewis Hamilton and of what the conditions are, you know?
Right. And I think I'm going to piggyback off something you said, that an outlier. And I want people to understand this. A lot of times they ask Lewis and they say that Lewis's biggest accomplishment is being the world record tie, which is the highest. Only two people, Schumacher and Lewis, hold the most amount of championships by one single driver. And then Lewis holds and has broken several other Formula One records and holds them to this day. And they're pretty they're way out there. Like, it's going to take a lot for somebody to reach all the records he has. By far, he's literally considered the GOAT of Formula One at this point in time in his career. But what I think is the biggest accomplishment, and Thanos has said this, is Lewis Hamilton is an anomaly in respect of the other drivers. Like, if you look at Logan Sargeant, his uncle is a billionaire. You look at Latifi, who wasn't that great in Formula One, his dad's a billionaire. He's given extension of credit to Williams for $60 million. He's given them a loan at $20 million. A lot of these drivers come from a background of money. Lewis is the outlier because his dad literally had to work 2 to 3 jobs to support his car. They worked off used parts. They didn't have everything new. They didn't have the van or the trailers that other teams were pulling up with. They had their car in the back of the van, had to pull it out. He didn't have all that, but yet his talent is what took him there and it was able to flourish into what we see now. And so my problem is the fact that they do have this guard over Formula One. Like, if you don't have the money, we're not letting you in. I think they're almost doing the sport itself and history itself a disjustice, because there's going to be drivers out there that are absolutely great, but they will never get to drive in Formula One because of the money ball game. And Lewis is an example of that. Before it got really, really tight, he's an example of that. So great, it was undeniable. But what about those, like you said, those kids that can and those pathways? And that's where you come into play, because there are other jobs where they can implement and be part of these teams and show. And it's unfortunate, especially, I'm going to just be frank, for Black people in history, even getting into the military. I served in the Navy. But before then, I know the history when my grandfather and my uncles and my great-great-grandfather served in. They were denied positions in the military just because they were Black people. Say, you're not smart enough, or you can't see well in the dark, or there's no way a Negro can fly a plane. These things happen throughout football if you look at not wanting a Black man to be quarterback, right? Now we're getting over that. Now the top quarterbacks, you can't even go 10 without having probably a majority of those be Black. Then you have basketball. So it's not saying it's all for one, but it's saying that these jobs, these opportunities – people are very knowledgeable, very, very available and talented to do so. And so I think it's great what you're doing, because you're helping lead that pathway, because I think the community has been turned off to an extent because of that wall that kind of has been put up, right? Like, you don't believe in this sport, or you really can't do it. And that's not true. So you're breaking those barriers and making those bridges and those gaps to make equal. And I think a lot of people that aren't used to equality think it's not equal when they see something of equality. It's like, oh, that ain't right. No, it's right. It's just that you're not accustomed to it. So I think I commend you what you're doing with teams. Like, it's a very big part of the game to me. So, yeah.
No, thank you for that. And just to echo one last part to what you just said around the equality piece. I love hearing that, but I use the word equity, right? Because I think equity just really represents everything you just said. It is about race, right? But it's about access, who can afford it, you know, and, you know, what is the general interest? Again, sports is a general interest for people. What better way to educate and excite people through their interest and how they wanted to develop where they want to go? So I like to say that anyone comes through our particular program, goes through our kind of training stuff, then yes, if it's a Formula One specific, you know, type of program, then I'm saying we're getting a 2-for-1. Of course, we want people to come out of there that want to be inspired to do specifically what Lewis Hamilton does, and they're focused on the prize. He's make over $20 million a year, and great. But we also want those students that, you know, may not be interested in being the next Lewis Hamilton to go into these career pathways. And because we're kind of creating these conditions where they got to think, they have to understand what logic is, they have to understand what computational thinking is. People that come out of our programs, we can say you take race out of it. It's merit-based. So we have qualified people that can take advantage of internships where they get exposed to showing their skill sets. And that's what I'm probably most, like, loudest about. Like, this isn't a program created to call out, you know, Formula One. We need 40 Black people to have these jobs. Don't sign me up for that, right?
Right.
But I do want to recognize that they have 40 internships available. It is socially criminal not to be considering people from these type of programs that have these skills, meet these type of, you know, criteria for these opportunities. And that's what us and Hidden Genius all about. We want to broker those, that access to those opportunities in a merit-based way. So again, if it's me mentoring a young person or some other traditional source doing it, that's great. I want everyone to have equal chance or equity going for those, like, you know, paid internships where they can take this and apply it to real-world application. That's the game changer to me. That's the game changer to me.
Facts, man. So listen, why don't you, this is your time, tell people where they can either get in touch with you, or they can follow you, or they can support you, all of that in the above here so they can see this.
We're on social media, you know, pretty deep and heavy. So our website is www.weareteaminc.org. And so that's weareteaminc.org. That is also our Instagram and Twitter handle. It's just at We Are Team Inc. So at weareteaminc. Those are our Instagram and Twitter handles. And, you know, we are a niche organization in what we do, but we want to work with sports organizations. We want to work with business organizations, just with that model in place that we can broker access. We can provide an environment where it's safe around mentoring, upskilling, but we're really trying to, you know, produce, you know, students or participants from our programs into the workforce to support their interests. And we've been able to have some results so far that just that process that I mentioned prior to team, helping a lot of people get established in the industry. They get established. Well, guess what they've done? They have literally reached back. So we have ongoing lifetime mentors that want to give someone 30 minutes of their busy schedule to have a conversation of, yes, like what you're thinking is right. You know, maybe you should try this. And I think that's really special that we have this broad network across sport, across industry for participants to have access to that specific mentoring. So and to the rest of your audience, you know, like, yeah, you know, I think we had a successful activation in Austin. And so we want to continue to build. So you're probably hearing us more in the Formula One space as we already exist in kind of basketball, baseball, you know, football and soccer. So we're excited. We're trying to grow. We want to expand. But we want everyone to know, you know, who we are, what we do, and how you can get involved. Like, this is, we think everyone can help us here. So thank you.
Right. So I want to say I am going to make it real easy for y'all. All right, because I know how that can be. I'm going to make sure that I put the links for AmWar's organization, the website, the Twitter, and the IG in the below in the description. So there's no excuses for you not just to click a button and go right over. You're not going to have to memorize it. I'm going to put it in there as a link. The other thing is this. Do something. If you're not doing anything, you're standing for nothing, do something, okay? So even if you feel like, hey, I can't participate in AmWar's program, I'm not going to fly across the world, that's not true. You could always tell somebody that knows somebody or anything like that. Word of ear is something that goes a long way, okay? That still takes action for you to reach out to somebody and say, hey, I know you're doing this. You've been looking for an opportunity. Here's an organization that may could help you or be an outlet or a plug for you to do that. Share that knowledge, share the link, share the video, and that's how you could take part, all right? So with that being said, this is another episode of Performance Talk. I really appreciate y'all. You know what I always say, be safe, stay healthy, just build it. Peace. This brings us to another successful Performance Talk podcast. Thanks for joining the podcast family. Don't forget, if you want to enjoy the audio and visual experience of this podcast, you can go over to the Instagram page at Wolfpack Performance, where we go live Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Also, new episodes will drop here at wolfpackperformance.podbean.com at 12 noon on Saturdays. If you need help with your build, tips, tricks, and hacks, you can check out the YouTube channel for DIY videos at Wolfpack Performance. And like I always say, anything in life is worth building, so just build it.